So I've been listening to a lot of sports talk the last couple of days. I had a week off. I stayed away from it. And then everything that happened over the weekend in Charlottesville sort of bled into our business as well. LeBron James addressed the issue yesterday. Of course, the anthem protests have been a big talking point. And as I listen to a lot of these shows, my blood begins to boil. Because I hear, and this is not everybody, I don't want to paint everybody with the same brush, but there are many of these examples where you have sports talk show hosts that have no idea how to talk about any of this stuff. They're totally confused, they're scared, they don't know what to say, they're afraid of something. I'll give you a couple examples. This morning I'm driving in on a competitor station. The guy opens up saying, you know, I had a long talk with the people who were producing the show and we're trying to figure out how we're going to talk about this. And then, you know, we decided that we'll touch on it because it's important enough to touch on, but we're not going to spend 2 hours on it. I promise we won't spend 2 hours on it. I just want to touch on it. So then they play the LeBron cut, say, man, the stuff that's going on out there is just terrible, and then go on to the rest of the show. Well, what does that do exactly? Just so you feel better that you were able to get that out of the way because you wanted to address quickly what was going on that has been suffocating this country now for the last couple of days. And you think because you're a sports guy that you can only touch on it a little bit before someone in your audience gets annoyed. And what really drives me nuts is that the other side, the bad guys in all of this, they're not afraid to say anything. I saw a piece on Vice yesterday, Vice News. They're on the front lines with the neo-Nazis in Charlottesville. And when they have a microphone in their face, these disgusting people, they say everything that's on their mind. But somehow we're afraid to. And I'm not going to just knock competitors. We have shows here that have used what's happened in Charlottesville as an entry point to talk about what your favorite TV show is. And it's disgusting to me. And we have other shows where you have two hosts in a newsroom and the guy goes, how do you want to talk about this? How do you want to talk about it? You don't know how you want to talk about it? Seriously, how do you want me to set you up with what happened in Charlottesville was a question that someone told me one host asked another in our newsroom. It's pathetic. And no, do I think that the sports talk show hosts of America are going to change what's going on? No, I don't. But what I do think is that most of us that work in this business are reasonable people. A hell of a lot more reasonable than Nazi protesters that are saying and doing the things that they're doing. And maybe, just maybe, if we used our microphones and weren't afraid to talk about this stuff, we could create an atmosphere where you might get this entire country so loud and so on the side of the good that it would make this place so uncomfortable for those people to pop out and do the things that they're doing.
Well said, my friend, and I feel and totally understand your frustration, but I disagree with one thing you just stated, and the fact that we can't make a difference. We can make a difference, and as we discussed the other day, it starts at the grassroots level. It starts in your home. It starts in your community. That's how you make a difference and change. Starts at the bottom, and then it rises to the top. It doesn't start at the top. It's got to start at the grassroots level, whether it's on this radio show, where we're not afraid to broach these difficult topics, whether it starts in your home, your car ride to home or wherever, your immediate family, your friends. That's where it starts. But, you know, it's interesting that these folks, it's not interesting. I understand why they don't want to broach this topic, because they have nothing to add to it. Either they're complicit or they're completely ignorant and would like to stay and remain ignorant to what's going on in the world. There's a line, I think it's Naughty by Nature, if you've never been to the ghetto, well, don't speak about the ghetto. And look at your circle of friends. Look at the people who you patronize. Is it a diverse circle of friends? Is it the people you interact with, whether you're banker, your accountant, your dentist, your doctor, the stores you go to? Is it a diverse community that you're interacting with on a daily basis? And for the most most part, no. The reason we have a Rooney Rule is because most of these owners, their circle of friends, their circle of influence, it's not diverse. It's gotten better in certain areas, but it's not diverse. And so that's why we need a Rooney Rule. Why did we need affirmative action back in the day? Why did they implement that? Because we still lived in a discriminatory society. And to a certain extent, it still exists. So it's going to change, but it's going to change slowly, as it always has. And we have to keep doing our part. We have to continue to speak truth to power. And we have to get rid of this notion, this false equivalency, that the grand birther in the White House, I don't see how anybody's surprised that he's endorsing these neo-Nazis. He's said it for the last 2 years he's been campaigning, so you shouldn't be surprised. He showed us who he was when he went on this great birther lie, and now everyone's shocked. You shouldn't be shocked if you were paying attention to that bull dookie that was going on. So it's a disgrace. And you've had many in that camp say they want to take us back. Well, hell, they're taking us back. They're taking us back to Jim Crow. That's where they want to take you. And you're right. Those who are in that number with the grand birther, those who are in Charlottesville causing all the trouble, they speak loudly. They are not afraid. They do not wear hoods anymore. They are overt with their feelings, what they believe, their ideology. They're out there in front for us to see. And yet those who should be pushing back are afraid because
right.
there may be a pushback.
It's crazy
ridiculous.
To me.
It's ridiculous. And you and I know, will keep shouting to the rooftops. Yes, we work with those at CBS Sports. I've worked with those in the NFL. I've gone to college with those who would align themselves with those folks who were causing all the problems in Charlottesville. And lastly, I'll say this. We will continue to push back. And for the grand birther in the White House and those of his ilk that was to try to create this equivalency, you're so wrong. There is no moral equivalency. Those of us who are fighting against hate and bigotry are not equal to those idiots on your side.
I used to think that when it came to athletes or people involved in this business, that if you didn't want to get into that field or express those opinions, you know, that was your right. You could stay away from that stuff if you wanted to. We talked about Michael Jordan and how he was uncomfortable with that. But I have never lived in a time like this right now. I haven't. Now, I know that there's been other times in this country that the fever of the racial and social issues was at a fever pitch. There's been no doubt. I mean, the 60s, we can go through all that. I was not alive for that. And not saying that there wasn't stuff in the 90s or the 2000s, but right now is different. So when I see people hide from it right now, that tells me everything I need to know about them. It really does. And now I think that if you have something to say that is fighting against these horrible things that we're seeing, and you're not saying it, then you are part of the problem. And if you don't know how to say it, and you have an opportunity to speak to a lot of people, then you are part of the problem. And I'm not saying that because we have microphones in front of us and we're going to change the world. I am realistic about it. But one thing I will not do is be given an opportunity every single day to have this platform to speak to people and then just hide from it because I'm afraid of something. And then watch skinheads, when they get a microphone put in front of their face, just destroy everybody. N-word this, Jews are ruining the country, we need to have an Aryan race. They're not afraid to say anything when the microphone's in front of them, but somehow half the people here and 90% of this business, they don't want to say it because they're afraid of their boss, they're afraid of the tweets they'll get, they're afraid of this. Man up, for crying out loud. Seriously, because this is different. This isn't the normal social issue that you wanted to rather talk about your fantasy football team and you want to stay away from it because you thought you'd turn off the audience. This is different. Treat it as such. Treat it as such. And don't give me this bull crap. It's an escape now. You know what? Escape. If you're escaping, you're a wuss. This is not a time to escape anything. And if you're looking for a way out, then you don't deserve to have a microphone in front of your face. You don't.
or at least announce to us that you believe in what the Grand Bertha is saying. You believe what those torch bearers are saying.
Well, have the
You're
guts then, too.
Number.
Have the
at least
guts.
Be man,
right.
Be man enough to say,
exactly.
I'm with them. I stand with them. Because there's no gray area here. Either you're with those haters, those bigots, or you're not. It's simple as that. No more hiding. Come out and be a damn man about it. Or be a woman about it. That's who you want to hitch your wagon to? Say it and
right.
be proud of it. And we'll know where to place you.
Yeah, I would have more respect for you if you did. I'm serious. I would totally disagree with you. I think you're a disgusting person. And I would try to, in some way or another, even if I failed to change your mind, I would do that. But at least you'd say what's on your mind, as opposed to taking the easy way out. And as far as, you know, there's going to be a lot of people that give you the same old, this is a sports talk show, you're on CBS Sports Radio, all this stuff. I don't care, man. I don't care.
It's not about sports, it's about life.
And this is it's different now. And it's the fact that people want to just go to all these different places as opposed to dealing with the real issues that is just feeding this. It's feeding this. You know, I mean, when you end the newscast with, you know, the golden retriever saved a deer in the lake, and, oh, you see Kathy Lee and Hoda drinking wine and talking about the new fall fashions, and you got all this garbage on TV and reality show this and Bachelor here and this and that, and everybody's hiding, and I don't want to pay any attention to that. Well, see what happens when you most people try to find an escape. Just see what happens, because it'll get worse. Because if you
we're
don't,
seeing it.
If you don't, yeah, exactly, it's happening. If you don't wake up, it's stuff's gonna get worse. So I mean, it's just been frustrating as all hell to me when you see these people who have an opportunity to say something, to step up and stand for something, when they're talking to multiple people and they're tiptoeing around stuff because they're gutless. It drives me crazy.
But there is no hesitation to blast those who will push back
right.
against the hate, against
exactly.
the bigotry, against racial inequality, against
right.
social injustice. Oh,
yeah.
Black Lives Matter. We'll call them damn terrorists real quick. We'll call Malcolm X a terrorist. We'll call the Black Panthers terrorists. I dare you push back against me holding you down. And it's not a perceived holding you down. It's not a perception. I've lived a damn good life. I've fought hard for this damn good life. And yeah, there have been obstacles, but I haven't allowed those obstacles to stop me because of the color of my skin. There are many more who've done that, but that doesn't mean we stop pointing out injustice, inequality when we see it. Just because you're doing good and you're successful doesn't mean you stop living, doesn't mean you can't be subjected to these things again. And I'm talking to you, Jason Whitlock. You should change your name to Steven, just like the character in Django Unchained, because anyone steps up like a LeBron James has done in the past, oh, he can't possibly know what racism is about. Why the hell can he? Didn't always have $1 billion in the bank. Didn't always have, wasn't always the best basketball player on the planet. We felt the sting of it, but we've overcome that. So my good friend Spencer Tillman would always say, I'm not preoccupied with race, but I'm damn sure impacted by it. And we will continue to speak up. We're not going anywhere, you skinheads. We're not going anywhere, you neo-Nazis. We're not going anywhere, Grand Bertha in the White House. We'll be right here fighting your ass till we die.
LeBron James is a guy I have criticized many, many times because I feel like he can be a drama queen. I feel like he says a lot of stuff in the media that he could say behind closed doors as it pertains to sports. I have a newfound respect for him. Not that this is the first time he's said stuff, because he has. I mean, he wore the I Can't Breathe t-shirt during the ESPYs. He stepped up. But he spoke yesterday. And it's not exactly what he said, but it's something that he prefaced his statements with that sort of hammers home the points that I was trying to make this morning.
I have this platform, and I'm somebody that has a voice of command. And the only way for us to be able to get better as a society and us to get better as people is love. And that's the only way we're going to be able to conquer something at the end of the day. It's not about the guy that's the so-called president of the United States or whatever case. It's not about a teacher that you don't feel like care about what's going on with you every day. It's not about people that you just don't feel like that's want to give the best energy and effort to you. It's about us. It's about us looking in the mirror. Kids all the way up to the adults, about all of us looking in the mirror and saying, what can we do better to help change?
I have this platform. I have a voice. And LeBron James has a much louder voice, a much larger platform than we do. But I ask anybody who speaks to a lot of people that you really want to do good and you want to see some of this hate dissipated, and it's not all going to evaporate in a day. But if you really believe in something and you have any sort of platform to speak about it, use it. Use it. Don't be a wuss. Don't hide from it. Don't be afraid of what people are going to think or say about you, or there's going to be some guy who's an egg on Twitter who's going to call you a bad name, or maybe your boss says, get back to this topic. Well, tell your boss to go poop in a hat then, because you had something to say. You had something to say, and you said it, and you can live with yourself a hell of a lot better because you said it. All right.
There it is. You can lay your head down at night and know you did the right thing. This is what this is about, right or wrong. This is right and wrong. Simple as that.
There's no in between on this.
No.
You said it before. There's no gray area on this one. We're coming right back.
So call right now, 855-212-4CBS.
I have the instinct at times to run away from stuff. I'm not going to lie about that. There was many times during the election that I said, I can't deal with this anymore. I'm going to go do something that I want to do because I don't want to think about this. And I feel better when I'm not thinking about the stuff that's going on that's angering me. And I am really disappointed in myself that I acted like that at that point. And I'm not doing that any longer. I'm not going to run and hide from the things that I think are horrible because it makes me feel better to do so, because right now things are different. They're different than I ever expected them to be. I thought that I'd look back on some of the things that happened in history and say that, boy, I'm really happy that that happened when I wasn't alive, because it created an atmosphere for me to live in that wasn't like that. And it's almost gotten back. I'm not going to say it's gotten back to that, but it feels like it's getting back to that. Now, I didn't live that, but it feels like this is as bad as it's been. So I will reiterate my point. If you have an opportunity to fight against the bad stuff, and if you don't know what the bad stuff is, then you're probably part of the bad stuff. But if you have that opportunity and you refuse to say anything or do anything about it, and you're a big part of the problem, and I'm talking about everybody who has a radio show, I'm talking to everybody that has a microphone in front of their face, that has the ability to talk, you know, opinions. Now, I know Brad does the sports. I'm not going to shame him into saying something. He's a sports anchor. But I have the ability. Brian has the ability. Everybody here at CBS Sports Radio has the ability to have their opinions be heard and to touch the treetops of it. And, man, that was really bad. Let's get to Ezekiel Elliott again. Or man, you know, I promise you we're not going to spend the whole show on this because I know we're going to turn off our audience. Well, you're a wuss.
And these are the things. This is the intersection of sports and society. This is what Colin Kaepernick has been protesting. Yet there's more fervor against him and a guy who didn't inflict any violence upon anyone, who just knelt during the playing of the national anthem. There's more vitriol directed towards him and Michael Bennett and Marshawn Lynch than there is by these same cats in front of these microphones towards those who are doing physical harm. It's amazing. It's a shame that they would direct their ire toward those who have not picked up a fiery torch, who have not rammed a car into innocent protesters, who have not done any of the evil stuff that went on this past weekend, and it's going on in this country. But yet they would rather call these football players, these athletes who are trying to draw attention to all these misgivings in our society, they look down on them in disgrace more so than they do those who were doing all the evil stuff in Charlottesville.
The reasonable people need to speak up more. And I think that reasonable people tend to look at the crazy stuff that happens on either side of things and say, man, that's crazy. I'm going to go mow my lawn. Well, the problem is there's not enough reasonable people and reasonable voices out there that are drowning those who are unreasonable, that tend to be a hell of a lot louder than the reasonable people. So if you think that you're one of the reasonable people, then speak up a little bit more, because then maybe you'll shut the rest of them up. Because I know despite what I've seen, I know there's more of us reasonable people out there than there are the bad ones and the unreasonable and the ones who buy the tiki torches at Lowe's and then have a Nazi march. I know that there's more of us than they are them. But yes, somehow, they're louder. Why? Because we're scared. I'm not saying me and you are, but the rest of us reasonable people are, it seems like. What are you afraid of? Why are you afraid to say something? Why are you afraid to fight against anything? Why? Because you're afraid that someone on Twitter is going to call you a name? Well, get over it, for crying out loud. Get over it. I don't know how we transition from that to Brad Heller. I feel bad, Brad. It's like when
Brad, smile.
It's like when you finish your sportscast with like a death, and then we got to get out of it.
You know how you transition? All you have to say are these three letters: THC.
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 Yeah, that was Brad yesterday.
There we go.
Really, really loving weed. So go ahead, Brad. What do you got for us this morning?
All right, guys. A busy Tuesday for LeBron James. He flew to New York on a private jet for a few hours, played pickup ball with Carmelo Anthony and Kevin Durant, then flew back to Ohio for a charity event at an amusement park, where he called Donald Trump the, quote, so-called president of the United States while addressing the violence in Charlottesville. Baseball, Giancarlo Stanton made it 6 straight games with a home run, 44 for the season. Marlins lost to the Giants, though, 9-4. In Boston, the Red Sox turned a triple play and then lit up the scoreboard against the Cardinals.
And Sandy swings, and he drives to the left center field, a base hit. This will get in, too. Devers scores. Bogart's around third. He's in. And the Red Sox lead it 7-0.
And Tim Nevert on the Red Sox radio network, part of an 8-run fifth inning. Red Sox crushed the Cardinals 10-4. Elsewhere at interleague play, the Dodgers scored 5 runs in the 8th, beat the White Sox 6-1. They're 50 games over 500, first team to do that since the Cardinals in 2004. Justin Turner says they're just finding different ways to win each night.
You know, that's the beauty of this run that we're on. It's not like we're just going out and, pounding a bunch of runs and winning games with ease. There's a lot of coming from behind, tight games, one-run games, and finding ways to win. So tonight was another example of that.
Other games of note, the Yankees beat the Mets 5-4. The Indians club 5 home runs and an 8-1 win over the Twins. Cleveland's lead in the AL Central, 6 games on both the Twins and the Royals. KC gave up 6 runs in the 8th, lost to the A's 10-8. The other scores out west, Mariners beat the Orioles 3-1. The Padres over the Phillies 8-4. Braves topped the Rockies 4-3. One day after getting ejected by umpire Angel Hernandez, Tigers second baseman Ian Kinsler ripped Hernandez to reporters, quote, "I'm surprised at how bad an umpire he is. He needs to reevaluate his career choice. He really does. Bottom line," end of quote. And the NFL Players Association officially announced it's appealing Ezekiel Elliott's 6-game suspension. The hearing will be held August 29th. Guys?
All right, Brad, thanks. We'll talk to you next hour. Yesterday, there was a little brouhaha that ESPN created. They did a couple of hours, or I guess maybe even a day or so, dedicated to fantasy football. And one of the bits or sketches that they did involved an auction, and it had probably, 30 middle-aged white football fans that were sitting down as the people participating in the auction. The auctioneer, who was holding up a cardboard cutout of the face of Odell Beckham Jr. on a stick, and he was auctioning off Odell Beckham Jr. in a fantasy football way. Now, there were people who got upset because it looked bad, and there were others that couldn't understand why people would get upset about it. And this is an easy one for me to figure. And do I think that the people who made that sketch wanted to be racist? Did I think that they were thinking about slavery when they were doing that? No, I don't. I don't think they had any ill intentions. Do I think that that looked horrible, that it was completely tone deaf and ignorant? Yeah, I do. And you need to be smarter, especially in this climate right now. And when people, and it's just the ignorance, man, the ignorance is just incredible. But when people respond back to, well, what if that was Tom Brady on that stick other than Odell Beckham Jr.? You can't figure out the difference. You really can't. Are you that stupid to not understand the difference between growing up black and the history of black people in America and the history of white people and slavery? You can't figure that out. That's the best thing you can come up with, is what if that was a white football player on that stick?
How dumb are you? How dumb are you?
Some people want to stay dumb, man. You can't fix stupid, as Ron White long ago said. Listen, the optics were terrible, but that was it. Was it intentional? Was it meant to be a racist fantasy auction? No, that's what you do during these fantasy drafts.
Right.
That's exactly what you do. So I disagree with those who were hurling angry tweets at ESPN over that auction. That's what happens. It was just the optics were terrible.
It looked like the final scene of Get Out. That's what it looked like.
You know, I haven't seen the movie yet. So, and don't get on me. I know I haven't seen anything that you've seen and you've told me to go see, but I will see it eventually. Give me 3 or 4 years. it was just terrible the way it was all staged. And that's the end of the story. No way, no how were they trying to be dismissive or be insulting to black people. It just didn't look good.
Right.
It was staged wrong.
Yeah, it was a mistake. No one should get fired over this.
But here's what really bothered me about it, Joe, and I'm going back to a fellow member of the media, Jason Whitlock, would then conflate that and ESPN being forced to apologize, which they shouldn't have apologized. And they said in their statement that it just looked bad. It wasn't a good look for us. And they acknowledged that. But there was nothing nefarious about what they were trying to portray. But for Whitlock to then conflate that to what's going on with Colin Kaepernick, what you have with Colin Kaepernick are owners who are more worried about their pocketbooks than worried about the issue that Colin Kaepernick and other players are trying to bring attention to. So that's what really bothered me, that then to have those who I'm in agreement with. I agree with him. Nothing wrong with what they were doing there. It's just how they portrayed it, because these draft auctions go on all the time. But don't then conflate that with what Kaepernick and others are fighting for.
Yeah, and there's no doubt that there wasn't an ill intention there at all, but you just have to be a little bit smarter, I think. Mm-hmm. I think you have to be maybe this doesn't look so good. You know, even though, and I know that people are going to go back to that, this PC thing, got to be afraid of offending everybody,
That's a cop-out. You know right and wrong. That's a damn cop-out.
Right, when it looks that bad, just think twice. Do it a different way. That's it. I mean, and to have every single one of the guys that was sitting there being a white guy, I mean, that's another part of it. I mean, can you throw in at least one black guy, an Asian here or there? What, only white guys play fantasy football? I mean, that was the other part of it. I mean, just do it a little bit differently and no one's going to say anything.
Can we just have a little diversity? Maybe the auctioneer is black. How about that?
Yeah, that would help out too. But no, he was as white as the back of my rundown. So that's why it didn't look good. And people should understand that. I mean, what is so hard about having a reasonable take on some of this stuff, too? Where you have...
Some people don't want to have a reasonable take. Some people need hate. They need these issues. They do not want to have a reasonable take, a reasonable conversation about these things. It's either right or left. It's conservative or it's liberal. How about it's just right or wrong? Can we just get back to that point where it's right or wrong or it wasn't done correctly? Why can't we just start at that vantage point?
Yeah, because it's too hard, apparently. I mean, it sounds too easy, but I guess it's too hard.
And that PC bull, I mean, that's the new – it's PC if you know, you're saying that, oh, people want me to be too PC, but then if someone else lobbies something your way that you think is untoward, oh, you want them to be PC. I mean, it's just crazy. It's a downward spiral we're entering right now.
Yeah, and I wish that I had more hope. I really do. I wish that I feel like maybe 6 months, a year from now, that things are going to be different, and maybe hitting rock bottom is the only way to cure some of these social issues and to get to a place where everybody's comfortable. But I mean, I don't have a ton of hope right now. I mean, if I had any hope, I wouldn't have been so angry this morning when I opened the show. Because I would have had a little bit of hope.
Yeah, and I'm sure there were those who were dealing with despair, way back during the abolitionist period, during civil rights and Jim Crow. I'm sure a lot of people lost hope, but they kept fighting the good fight, and that's what we'll continue to do. Keep fighting the good fight, because the alternative is no good at all. The alternative is to just give up and let be, and we're not going to do that.
Follow us on Twitter at Gio and Jones.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Colonel Jay is a guy who tweets us a lot. He's a good listener to the show, and he said calling out Nazis and racists, you know, isn't brave because everybody doesn't like Nazis and racists. Well, that's totally missing my point. My point is, I'm not saying that we're brave or anybody that says it is brave. What I'm saying is it's necessary now as opposed to hiding from it. I'm not saying that the people who step up are the bravest people in the world. What I'm saying is the ones that have the opportunity and the platform to say something about it, to counteract and then take the easy way out because they're afraid of criticism or they're afraid of the stay-in-your-lane people or they're afraid that their job might be on the line and politics is taboo, that's not helping anybody. It's really not, and it's hurting. So to think that we're just on the air this morning looking for pats on the back from people saying that we're brave for saying it, you're missing the point. You're not listening to what we're saying.
Right. And while it's easy to say that, not everyone is saying it. That's what we're trying to instill in this conversation, is that everyone should be denouncing these idiots. Everyone should be denouncing these terrorist thugs. That's it. Yeah. It should be simple for that to roll off the tongue, but apparently it's not because they still exist.
Yeah.
They're still out here causing problems, killing folks.
Yeah, it seems
so
to be.
It's not that easy, apparently.
And they seem to be, at least it appears to be, louder than the ones who oppose them. And it's because, I think, as I mentioned before, that they're not afraid to say anything. I keep referencing that Vice piece. And the second that a media member was embedded with them, I mean, boy, did they see that as an opportunity to get their message out. That's what they said. Why don't we do that with the good stuff? Well, how come there's people that on the air I have to hear, oh, we're looking for an escape today from all the stuff that's going on? Well, how about for once you don't look for a damn escape and you address it head on?
Right.
That's my point.
Are you going to really be looking for an escape?
Right.
New damn country.
Man. That should be easy to understand the point that we're trying to make, but I guess I can't make everybody happy. Pete Pilotti, our technical director, made a good point in the break to me. He said, you know, in the sports talk world, you know, everything is based on hot takes and you have to have a take and a strong opinion here and a strong opinion there, but yet when it comes to this, those strong takes are hard to find. And it is kind of ironic that, you know, there's so many people out there that, you know, live off the hot take and boy, I'm bringing it today, man. I'm bringing it. Watch out for this phone number hot take. But when it comes to this, right, you're hiding in a cave.
Yeah, you can go after LeVar Ball. You can go after Colin Kaepernick. But when people are dying in the streets of America, like they were back in the 60s, like they were back in the 50s and last century, you're silent.
Yeah, it really is. It's sickening to me. And I hope as this continues, and it will, that there's more people that will shed whatever fear it is to speak up. And we'll do exactly that and express those opinions, you know, if they've got that platform that we're so, I won't say lucky because I know you hate that, but we are fortunate to have. Okay, moving on. We heard from LeBron James earlier talking about issues in Charlottesville, and he did call out the president and said that the only thing that's going to fix this is love. I do agree with that. However, it's a very difficult thing to put into practice because there's a lot of hate-filled people out there that are not going to change their minds. There's also an issue going on with LeBron James and his team, and it's not going to go away. Kyrie Irving is continually in the news. Apparently, the Cleveland Cavaliers are asking everybody that wants Kyrie Irving for the sun and the moon, and if they get it, they'll make that deal, and if they don't, then they're going to have to go into the season with LeBron James and Kyrie Irving there, and they're going to have to figure it out. But at this juncture, if you're the New York Knicks and you hear the Cleveland Cavaliers are on the phone And Kristaps Porzingis is the only name that the Cleveland Cavaliers are saying that they need back to make this deal, then you can't do it. And I'm sure that the same thing is happening with the Suns. I know he's intrigued by the Spurs. I don't know what they are going to be able to give back. So here we are all these weeks later after talking Kyrie Irving to death, and the same situation is there. That, and the Cavaliers are doing the right thing, in my opinion. I think that what they need to do is continue to ask for everything because they've got the guy under control and they have a team that can go back to the finals pretty easily next year.
Right, yeah. Why wouldn't you ask for everything, including the kitchen sink? You've got a young superstar. You've got him for a pretty good deal as it stands now with these super contracts that these guys are able to attract. So why wouldn't you ask for the whole kit and caboodle? I don't blame them. I'm not just going to give this guy away. We have no certainty that LeBron is returning. And it's interesting, LeBron, he has always hammered the front office. We admonished him somewhat for speaking out loud about David Griffin and what he was or was not doing to make that roster better. You recall Charles Barkley getting on him like, how many great players do you want? Well, I want as many as Golden State has. So those are conversations that should have been taking place behind closed doors, not for us to hear. But he's always wanted to make this team better, and you applaud him for that, but maybe not the manner in which he conveyed that message. Now he's essentially hurting this franchise, because I think you can point to a number situation over this offseason where there was a GM, a potential GM, or other players from other teams not wanting to sign with the Cavaliers because of the uncertainty with LeBron and his future. And that's occurring now with Kyrie Irving. This is going to be an uphill climb for Cleveland, I believe.
Yeah, and it already is, and it shouldn't have been already. And I don't know whether or not I should place the blame more on Kyrie Irving for not being able to understand that he's in a great spot and could chase a championship again and can come back with essentially the same team and get back to the finals and potentially take on the Golden State Warriors again. Or I get on LeBron James for creating an atmosphere that is bad enough for Kyrie Irving to want out. And I kind of took Kyrie Irving's side earlier on because I said that he's probably sick of waiting around to figure out what his future is going to be. That's tied to LeBron James, who is always indecisive and he's quiet and you have no idea what he's going to do. And then all of a sudden, Kyrie Irving signs an extension thinking LeBron's going to stick around, and he doesn't. And then he's stuck there in Cleveland like he was when LeBron was down in Miami and the team stinks and he just wallows away there. I don't blame him for wanting to get a fresh start if he thinks that that's what's going on. But at the same time, you can get that fresh start when your contract expires, and you'll still be pretty damn young when it does, 27 years old when it does. So you can do that then. So you suck it up now and see what happens, because you still have a great team.
He sucked it up in the past and when it was just him and they weren't that good. But yeah, if it's just, is this going to be the last year with LeBron? Well, go play out this last year. Then you have 2 years left on your deal, and then maybe you can move and you have a little bit more leverage than you're enjoying right now. But it looks like he wants to get out ahead of this deal, and so far it's not working out.
No, it isn't. And that's going to be the biggest story, no doubt, when the season starts. And it does start a little bit earlier this year. It's amazing how we are 2 months away, and that 2 months will fly by. 2 months away from when the NBA season starts. I mean, it's like, how the hell is that even possible?
Didn't it just end, and we haven't stopped talking about it?
I know. And that's the kudos to the NBA for that, because this is the most, even in the year of the LeBron decision, I don't think that the NBA was talked about this much in the offseason as it was this year. And I was in a non-NBA town at the time, so it's harder for me to judge, but it does feel like this year there's been more consistent talk throughout the offseason than there ever has been. And it was a big draft, too, where there's a lot of very recognizable names and guys we watch in the tournament. Of course, the Lonzo and LeVar Ball show, too.
That has had a huge effect on the offseason talk, this draft with all the one and dones coming out, and the hope that these guys can come in and pan out. That doesn't always happen, but when you have the mouth of the West in LeVar Ball and all the things he has stated and outlandish things he has been promoting, that's going to keep you in the news, and so that's helped. And then now the drama with Kyrie Irving and I think it's also who's going to be the next big move, like a Kevin Durant last summer, who's going to help upgrade their team, who will upgrade their team to the point where they can at least be somewhat competitive with Golden State, because I think it's a fait accompli that Golden State will be right back where they were last year in the NBA Finals.
It does feel dirty going from all the stuff we talked about earlier into a sports take, but I did find what's happening with Kyrie still to be a little bit interesting. But it is tough to do that. It's a difficult thing to do. I mean, I don't know if it's even healthy for me to spend the entire show yelling about something that I'm really angry about, because then I'll leave here and continually be angry, and I don't know if that's good for my brain.
Well, we're getting it off our chest, and there are other things that are happening. And while you have that heavy topic weighing on you, you can still deal with other things on your plate. You know, there are more things you have to deal with, and that's life, though. You have to be able to multitask, and you know, we're not going to curl up in the fetal position just because of that one topic makes us feel so ill. We're going to continue to go throughout our day and be productive.
Yeah, there he is. There's the Boys and Girls Club, Brian Jones. I like that. A little bit of advice and inspiration to get through the rest of the show, which is a good one that's got Dikembe Mutombo on it and Booger McFarland on it. We're coming right back. Gio and Jones, CBS Sports Radio.